Good morning. All right, so this feels a little weird. I just thought I would get that out there. I was trying to decide this morning, should I like have this the whole night too? Now, when I preached in Iowa, thank you, Marilyn, for my introduction, and I did serve local churches in Iowa, and one of the churches, we had three services. Now, one at 5:30 on Saturday night, one at 8. Can you believe 8 o'clock on Sunday morning? And that changed after I left, but not before I left. And and then went at 10:30. Now, the advantage is you spend all this time preparing a sermon, and you actually give it three times, right? So, you kind of get your money's worth out of it. But the Saturday night, we were in the fellowship hall, and it was in the basement of this church. And I preached from a music stand, just like Billy does. So I thought, you know, I'm an experienced music stand preacher, but mostly I have a pulpit to hold on to, so even this is a little, anyway. I haven't preached in a while, but I think it probably, hopefully, is like riding a bike, and I know I'm among friends, and you're gracious with me, I'm sure. So anyway, please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm going to guess that we all like to eat junk food. Well, I'm sure 99% of us do anyway. We get hungry for something and we can choose carrot sticks or potato chips. And I find one of the greatest things about being a grown-up, being an adult, is that I can have as much junk food as I want whenever I want. I can still hear my mother saying, "You'll spoil your supper." But I really can't eat what I want and when I want to my heart's content. And I often find it is only to my heart's content. Sometimes I eat more than my fill of junk food, and it's to my stomach's discontent. But junk food can be comfort food, and eating it just tastes good. And I guess that can apply to all kinds of food, not just the kind we eat, but also the kind of books or social media we read, the things we do, the things we spend our time with, the things we watch on television. We know none of these junky indulgences are bad in small doses. We all know the saying, everything in moderation. But all of us can overindulge in junk food, whether literal junk food, television junk food, or reading junk food. Some of it's okay, but too much doesn't give us much nourishment. We all want our fill of food, and it was no different for the people following Jesus in our gospel lesson. Last week, we had the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and heard of one of Jesus' greatest miracles. Taking just two fish and five small loaves, Jesus fed a crowd of over 5,000 people until they were satisfied and had 12 baskets left over. The crowd was amazed by Jesus calling him a prophet and wanting to make him king. Jesus, wanting nothing to do with being a king, slips away from the crowd and travels by boat to the other side of the sea. But the people will not leave him alone and follow him. When he sees them, he confronts them with the truth by saying, "You are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." In other words, they were coming not to see a sign of God, which certainly was in that multiplication of food, but because they wanted their basic needs met. They wanted their stomachs full. But Jesus tells them that that kind of food will perish. That's not what they should be seeking. What they need is food that will never perish, the food of eternal life, which only Jesus, the Son of Man, can give them. Then the followers are looking for a sign. They say they need a sign to believe. They had just witnessed one of Jesus' greatest miracles in feeding the 5,000, and the next day they seem to have forgotten all about it, and now they want a sign. You'd think the feeding miracle would be sign enough, but they want another one. The crowd seemed to be suffering from some short-term memory loss. In our Exodus text, we have another group focused on food that seems to be suffering from short-term memory loss. Here we have the Israelites who had just witnessed the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea in order to escape the Egyptians, and now they too are complaining. They complain, saying they'd rather be well-fed slaves than wandering in the wilderness with Moses, uncertain of the next day's meal. But God provided for the Israelites, and each day they had a flaky substance to eat, manna. They had enough for each day, and they learned that God will provide for their needs and no less than what is needed. Both of these texts are a reminder that God provides for our needs, and those needs can be more than our physical needs. We have a God who provides for all of our needs. I'm going to talk a little about a psychological theory, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You may have heard of it before. This theory was developed by Abraham Maslow in the 1940s. The basic premise of the theory is that as human beings, each of us have needs, from the most basic needs, physiological needs such as breathing, food, water, and sleep, for example, to what are called the needs of self-actualization, or what some of us might call finding meaning for our lives, or what as Christians we might say, what God's purpose is for our lives. These needs are usually shown in a pyramid, and the bottom of the pyramid are those physiological needs. Once those needs are met, we move to needs of safety and security, which would include employment. Then we move to satisfy our needs of love and belonging, which include family, friends, and intimacy. From there, we move to our needs of esteem, which include self-esteem, importance, ethics, and respect by others. From there, we move to the top of the pyramid, which is self-actualization, or finding the true purpose for our lives. The higher needs in this hierarchy only come into focus when the lower needs in the pyramid are met. According to this theory, until we reach self-actualization, or finding the meaning for our life, we will always be anxious and tense. I remember first learning this theory in business school, in marketing class. It was taught to us to help us understand what motivated customers to buy what they buy. Of course, understanding what a person needs, or in the case of a marketing class, what they think they need, can help determine what you will try to sell them. And if you go in any bookstore today, there is certainly credence to Maslow's theory. If you take a walk down the aisle, usually a large section in any bookstore called self-help, people are on a quest for more and more information on how they can improve, how they can move up this pyramid of self-actualization to find, assuming physical and safety needs are met, love and belonging, self-esteem and self-actualization, or that is meaning and purpose to life. This is what people are hungry for. And I would suggest that these people in Jesus' time are no different. Now, these crowds who were following Jesus were Galileans who were under Roman occupation. Most of these people would have been poor and hungry. So finding food to eat would certainly be a reason for following Jesus. A sure meal was something to be had. But then they do realize there is more to life than just food. They long to have their spiritual needs met and ask what they must do to perform the works of God. And Jesus tells them to believe in Jesus whom God has sent. Believe in Jesus whom God has sent. So there's our simple answer to that question that we may be asking ourselves today. Don't we all ask it from time to time? What can I do to find meaning in my life? What can I do to know what God's purpose is for me? This is what we're hungry for. St. Augustine said that our hearts are restless until we find rest in God. And this too fits into our hierarchy of needs. St. Augustine called it restless. Maslow says, until we reach self-actualization, finding purpose, we are tense and anxious. And I would suggest that in our anxiety, rather than feasting on the one who gives us life, Jesus, We eat the junk food of life. And why? Because we're grown-ups and we can, and it's fast, and it's a whole lot easier than eating the good stuff. Why not eat junk food or look at social media too long or read a junky novel or overindulge in alcohol or drugs or too much of whatever our particular indulgence is? Remember, I said it's not a little junk food that's bad for us. It's just we eat too much. It's not good for us. It's not what we need. And it does not bring us life. It doesn't satisfy our hunger for meaning. Jesus told those first hearers and tells us, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He makes it sound simple, doesn't he? But you know what? It's not simple. Following Jesus is not a simple task. Just like it isn't easy to eat carrot sticks when your favorite junk food is sitting right in front of you. It's not easy to follow Jesus because Jesus calls us to do a difficult thing. The author of an article I read in Homiletics Magazine brings home the point to me. He says this, the problem is Jesus can be difficult to swallow. We gag on his hard sayings and tough teachings. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Jesus can stick in our throats, no doubt about it. He would be much easier to digest if he said, love your friends, do good to those who like you, bless those who compliment you, and pray for those who help you. Yes, if Jesus said those things, he would be feeding us spiritual candy bars, donuts, and french fries. Food that isn't bad for us in moderation, but can hurt us if we overeat it. It isn't easy to follow Jesus, but when we do, we find eternal life. Now, eternal life is not just something for after we die, going to heaven. Then it would be called future life. Eternal life means always, ceaseless, never ending. Eternal life means now and forever. Finding eternal life, seeking to follow Jesus and eat the spiritual food of his ways, brings us this eternal life today. And eternal life today is this meaning for our lives, our purpose, to find God and to find rest in God that St. Augustine describes. Blaise Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts that cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God. And in our anxiety, we do try to fill that vacuum. We can fill it with life's junk food for a while, and for a while we think we're satisfied. But eventually, again, we are on that quest for God, who is the only one who can truly satisfy us. So how can we find meaning for our lives? Certainly the answer to that question would take a lot longer than we have today, but I will make a suggestion for something that may help you find more meaning for your life. Go back to those hard sayings of Jesus I just referred to. They are from the Sermon on the Mount, which can be found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7. Read through them slowly through those chapters and see if there is some action God may be calling you to do. It may be to give away more of your money, your treasure, which Jesus tells us can be consumed by moth and rust and should be stored in heaven. It may be to pray more. Perhaps it is to worry less and trust God more. Maybe you are being called to love an enemy and pray for those who persecute you. And rather than retaliate against someone who has harmed you, maybe you are being called to turn the other cheek. Maybe you're being judgmental, harsh with someone who doesn't need your judgment, and you need to consider another point of view. You may be called to forgive someone that you need to forgive. I know from personal experience that none of these are easy. But the more difficult they are, the more life-giving they can be. These are some of the ways to follow Jesus that can bring us eternal life. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper this day, we share in this bread and wine symbols of the life of Jesus and the life that Jesus gave us, that we might have eternal life. Remember that we are a part of the body of Christ, and as a part of the body, God, through Jesus, seeks to find us, each of us, that we might have life in his name. Just as Jesus told those first followers looking to be fed, believe in Jesus whom God has sent. Believe in him. Follow him. Even when it's difficult to find what you're hungry for. Amen, church. Amen.